So tonight, we're going to be talking about God is passionate about who? You. Folks, we need to keep this in our hearts and minds. Sometimes it feels like God's way out there, way away from us. He's not. He's intimately involved with everything you're doing, every day, even when you're not right with Him. He loves you just as much. And so I want to talk about that tonight, because our God has a passion for people. When we talk about a passion, it's a fire that burns in our hearts and it burns in God's heart. God created mankind in His image, and He cares about us. I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And I want you to notice as I read it, two different words are repeated three times each. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power," one time, "through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love," one time, "may have power," two times, "together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ," two times, "and to know this love," three times, "that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power," three times, "that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Father, we're grateful that You are the God of all power and that You are the God who is love. Help us to leave this place on fire, knowing that we're loved and empowered by You for Your glory and for the good of those that we love and want to serve. Father, do a mighty work in us so that we don't listen to Satan's lies that Jesus doesn't care. Because He does. And we'll give You the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. In other words, God gave them His blessings. He loves them. And He said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. You know, when God did His days of creation, 6 days of creation, at the end of every day, God looked over what He had made. And on the first day, He said it was good. The second day, He looked over everything He made, and He said it was good. The third day, the fourth day, and the fifth day, it was good. But He got to the sixth day when He created man and woman in His image. And when He was done with the sixth day, He said it was very good. Why? Because now God has somebody made in His image who He can love and who can love Him. That's why we were made. We weren't made just to rule and reign. We're made to know God and to love God, and to be loved by God. Because He is love, He loves to love people. Probably the most famous verse about the love of God is John 3:16. We all know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." Folks, He loves you. Whether you have trusted Him or not, He loves you. Whether you're walking in obedience to Him today or not, He loves you. He doesn't love you any more when you're obedient than he loves you when you're not. God is love. He's going to love you till the day he takes you home. In John 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And then the next verse says, you're my friends if you do whatever I tell you. And what did Jesus tell people to do? He said, you have to receive the one that God sent. The Jews asked him, what work must we do to do the works of God? Now, Jesus could have said, keep the law, do this, do that. He didn't say any of that. He said, you have to receive the one that God sent. Folks, when you do that, you're walking in to receive the love God has for you. It's a wonderful thing to be loved by God, and it's wonderful to be loved by him. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. Now, he's talking to the nation of Israel, but I want to tell you, it's just as true of you as an individual. When did God first love you? Before there was the creation of the world. God knew you, and God loved you. And you say, well, how can he know me when I wasn't even conceived yet? Because he's God. He knows everything about everything. It's in the book of Acts. It says all the works of the Lord were known by him before he ever created anything. He knew you. He knew you all the way back. And he's cared about you before you were even conceived. What kind of a God do we serve? I want to read that in Ephesians again, Ephesians 3 and verse 14. And I want you to watch for the words. And when I hit the word power, or I hit the word love, I want you to read it with me, because it's so important for you to know that God is the one who gives you the power for life, and God is the one who loves you with all of his heart. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God has a passion for you. You may never have heard that before. Some of us had parents that didn't show us much love. Some others have had parents that totally neglected you all your life long. But you have got a parent who has loved you for eternity past. And he loves you now, and he's going to love you for eternity future. Folks, this is important to know. God has a plan. When Adam and Eve got into sin, did Adam and Eve go looking for God to repent? They did not. They hid. God went looking for Adam and Eve. And when you and I fall short, we don't want to be around God. We don't want to be around God's people. We want to hide out. We're not worthy. God says what? You're worthy. I made you. You're made in my image. I love you. And we can come back and seek the Lord. God the Son had a passion for men and women. That passion brought him down from the throne of glory to this world of sin and suffering and sorrow. That was because of his passion for you. God the Father has a passion that caused him to make himself like a man, because God the Father and God the Son are one. God took on flesh He didn't have to, but he loved you enough to die for you. Again, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. I got to tell you, I believe with all my heart, if you were the only person that ever lived, Christ would have died for you because he loves mankind that much. To become obedient to death, even death on the cross, the Holy Spirit has a passion for you. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. And all three love you with all their heart. In John 16, verse 8, when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. He'll glorify me, because from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you. Folks, the Holy Spirit has a passion for you. He wants to teach you. He wants to mold you into Christ's likeness. And even when you and I rebel against it, and we all do from time to time, he doesn't love you any less. He's waiting for you to repent. He wants you to come back into the fold so that he can show you even more love. We reject the Holy Spirit's work many times in our lives, but he never rejects us. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I'll never lose. He's responsible. I'm not. Now, I try to do the best I can to obey him, but I'm a sheep, and sheep are not the brightest animals on the earth, and every once in a while, instead of keeping my eye on him, I'm looking at the world and getting drawn away. He's always waiting for me. You remember we talked this morning a little bit about the prodigal son? But the father of the prodigal son, what did he do every day while that son was away? He's out there looking for that boy every day, praying for that boy. When you go astray, what do you think your heavenly father is doing every day? He's praying for you. He's looking for you. Why? Because he loves you with all of his heart. He's passionate about you. I thank the Lord for the first time that I met him. I was wandering further and further into sin, and my sister went to the hospital for an ingrown toenail, and she sicked Pastor Williams after me. And Pastor Williams, my oldest boy, Shane, was just about a year old at the time. And I and the wife were talking before Pastor Williams ever came. What are we going to tell our son that life is about? What are we going to tell him why he's here? What do we tell him about what's coming? Because we had no answers. And then Pastor Williams came. And he gave us all the answers we needed to raise that boy and our other three kids. Sometimes it's the birth of a child that will drive a man or woman to the Lord, because we know we don't have the answers ourselves. Only God can reveal the truth of life. And we were seeking, but I wasn't seeking in the right way. And all at once, because of my son's birth, we got convicted that we had to have a way to help that boy to know who he was, why he was here, and what happens. And the Lord gave us all the answers. It was wonderful. God has a passion for you personally. So when we talk about a passion in Jeremiah 31:3 again, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. How far back does that go? If it's everlasting, it's before anything at all was ever made. He's talking to the nation of Israel, but it's just as true about you and I. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. Sometimes our kindness fails, doesn't it? We're not kind all the time. But God is. He's always kind with us, always seeking us. He puts the emphasis on you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. There's a lot of children and a lot of adults that are sad because they don't feel loved. They didn't get loved by their parents when they were little, and so they have a hard time thinking that anybody cares about them. If you had loving parents, if you were blessed that way, you understand how love works. But when a child doesn't have that, they have a real struggle. Am I worthy of God's love? And the answer is yes, you are, because you were made in His image. It's not based on what you do. It's based on who you are. You're a creation of God in His image, and He's passionate about you. In 1 Peter 5:7, this is another one of the verses I would recommend that you memorize and think about. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Folks, we don't have to carry the anxieties of life. Now, we have to make wise decisions in life, but we don't have to worry about everything. God is really in control of everything, and He loves me, and He loves you too. So instead of worrying and getting all upset, let's start trusting our Lord and rejoice that He loves us. Christ is so unique. He's different than any other religious leader or anybody that ever started a religion. Do you know when you study the Quran? I've read the Quran. It's an interesting read, but it's a little bit repetitive. But at any event, I've read the Quran. And do you know there's no place in the Quran that ever tells the follower that God loves him? Allah doesn't have any intimate relationship with anybody. Allah is totally separate. Those people have no hope of ever seeing Allah face to face. I'm going to see God face to face because He loves me. No other religion except Christianity ever offers the fact that their God, their prophet, is going to spend eternity with you in a loving relationship. Only Christianity. We have so much to be thankful for. The Creator God loves us. In John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved the world," and that's the world of men and women, boys and girls, "that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Now I'm going to read that again, and when I get to "whoever believes in Him," I want you to put your name there. There may be somebody here tonight, you've never put your name there. If you believe in Jesus Christ, God gave His Son for you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that Jerry Larkin, believing in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And you can put your name right there. The sad thing is, many people don't know how to accept God's love, and they never put their name there. Yeah, He cares about all those people, but He doesn't care about me. Why, I'm such a sinner, God couldn't possibly save me. How bad of a sinner was the Apostle Paul before he was saved? What did the Apostle Paul do? He killed Christians. He put Christians in jail. He made them blaspheme the name of the Lord. Now, he didn't blaspheme the Father. He didn't say Jehovah's a wicked thing. He said, "You got to say that Jesus Christ is not God, or we're going to put you to death." And God loved the Apostle Paul enough to save him. If He could love somebody that wicked, He can love you. And He does love you. We have to get through this. God's passion is universal. It's not just for a select few. God loved the world of men and women, boys and girls. That means He loves you individually. The Lord is righteous in everything He does, but He knows we're not going to be. When I confessed to the Lord that I was a sinner, it didn't surprise Him one bit. He already knew that. But He wants you to confess it He wants you to believe that Jesus Christ loved you enough, passionate about you, that if you were the only person that ever lived, he would have died for you. And I believe with all my heart he would have. Because what he's looking for all eternity, is men and women, boys and girls, that will choose from their own heart to love him passionately right back. That's his greatest desire. He created you for eternity so that you could be with him forever. But there's all kinds of people. I know all kinds of different people. Some people are so easy to love. You walk into a room and they've got a big hug for you. They're cheerful. They're talking to you. But there's other people that aren't very easy to love, aren't there? There's people that when you see me, oh, I just do not be here. But do you know God doesn't do what we do? He doesn't turn away from anybody. Even people that are extremely hard to get along with, God loves them. And he loves them passionately. And he longs to work in their heart so that they can learn to love him right back. That's what God's looking for from us. He wants us to be passionate about our love for him. And when we do that, it unlocks God's power in our lives. When Saul, I want to read that about Saul, Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, this is the guy that's going to be the Apostle Paul. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, when we say the way, that's what the early church was called. It was people of the way. Why were they called that? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so his earlier followers were called people of the way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul said. I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Now Paul didn't persecute Jesus Christ. Paul persecuted Christians. But Jesus said, when you're hurting those people, you're hurting me. Those are the people that I'm passionate about. This has got to stop. Folks, he knew those people were dying. He knew the Apostle Paul was killing them. And it wasn't that he didn't care. It was part of God's plan for their lives. Some people are called to suffer greatly because of their faith in Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are people still in our world today dying because they're Christians. And Nigeria, they're putting Christians to death. In North Korea, they're putting Christians in jail. Folks, you have to understand, the suffering is not over. But God is passionate. God's passion is eternal both ways. Again, Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. You know, human passion for another person is very short for many people. Some people are married 50, 60, 70 years. But I've done several marriages that didn't last a year. They've gone through the counseling. They said, yes, we're going to be married till death us do part. Yes, I understand that God's plan is that, no, we never get divorced. But within a year, people have lost their passion for each other. I praise God that his isn't like that. His passion for me is going to last for all eternity. It started way back before he ever created anybody, and it's going to go all the way to the future. Folks, we need to learn God's passion of love. God's passion is eternal. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's never going to stop. When a person sins, and how many of us sin? Every one of us. Don't think God can't take you back. He loves you. He understands you're going to sin from time to time. You were born with a sinful nature. That nature is not going to go away through this entire life. You're going to fall short sometimes. But he doesn't just leave you out there. 1 John 1:9, another verse. If you don't have this memorized, you need to memorize 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means if you'll honestly confess and repent to God what you're doing wrong, God will not only forgive you, he'll cleanse that sin out of your life. You don't have to go 20 years as an alcoholic. You don't have to go 20 or 30 years as a drug addict or a sex addict. As soon as you confess, God's beginning the work in you. Not just to forgive it. The forgiveness is that quick. The cleansing may take a little longer, but he's going to work. And we have to understand that. The gates of hell cannot prevent God's love for you. In Psalm 139, verse 13, David said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." Folks, the works that God has done in you and for you are more numerous than all the grains of the sand on the oceans of this world. He really cares about you and I. So, God's passion for us is supernatural. It's not like our passion for each other. Our passion goes way up and our passion goes way down. And it can all happen in within just an hour or two. It's amazing. But God's love, he makes us a promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death," whose death? My death cannot separate me from God. My life cannot separate me from the love of God. Angels can't separate me, nor demons can separate me from the love of God. The present or the future, or any other powers cannot separate from the child of God and the love God has for that child. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you with an eternal love, and there's nothing you can do to make that different. How many times have we failed him and sinned against him and he still loves us? I can't count the times. In that sense, I've been a Christian. We all slip up. We all think wrong. We all say wrong things. But God's love never wavers for a second. God's love and his passion are supernatural. God's passion for us is inexhaustible. And again, in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, "I loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness." When did God love us? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, another great message, great verse to memorize. Romans 5, 8 says, "God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God didn't wait for you to get your life straightened out. If he had, he would have never sent Christ. He would have never given you faith to believe because you're never going to get your life straightened out. Even as a Christian, my life is still not all straightened out. But God loves me anyhow. And God loved the Apostle Paul, even as the Apostle Paul saw was killing Christians. God loved him. God loves the drunk in the gutter just as much as the mother and dad that are very loving and caring for their children. God loves those who are into pornography just as much as he does those that aren't. God loves the drunk just as much as he loves the sober person. There's not a difference how God loves us. He loves us all to the maximum. And he wants everybody to come to know Christ so that we can give him back the love that he desires. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? If God loved you enough to die for you, he loves you enough to give you whatever you need. What a blessing we have. Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ. God's passion for us is extremely powerful. Jeremiah again in Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. I'm going to read it again. And when I read it, where the word you is, I want you to say your name. And don't say it bashfully. Don't say it shyly. Shout out your name. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I've loved Jerry Larkin with an everlasting love. I have drawn Jerry Larkin with unfailing kindness. You can put your name there. For God so loved the world, you can put the world if you want to, but you can just as easily put your name right in that verse. Because it's true. God loved the world of men and women, boys and girls, so much that he came to this earth to die for you. You can't show any greater love than that. Many people are afraid to receive Christ as Savior because God's going to take away all my fun. God's going to make me weird. I have to become a fanatic. You know, none of those things are true. I never loved life as much as I love it now. And I love the Lord. And life is absolutely wonderful. He allows me to do good things. He blesses me for it. And then he encourages me to do more. You can't get any better than that. You're doing exactly what God created you to do. Life is wonderful. God's loving kindness, he's drawn us to himself. So God uses all kinds of things. God can use a death and a family to bring you into the love of God. Bev Brancy, last week, her sister had a son die about a year and a half ago. God used that to make Bev's sister want to know for sure where she's going. God can use a tragedy to show you his love. And he did. The young man that died, Linda's son, had received Christ. And his mother didn't know Christ. And Bev had the pleasure of leading her sister to faith through a tragedy. Folks, the tragedies of life are meant to bless us, believe it or not. In fact, the Bible says that God has appointed us to death in hope. In hope of what? In hope that we don't have to live forever in a sin-cursed earth. This world in its present form, because of sin, is cursed by God. There's death, there's pain, there's sorrow. When we die, we're going to leave all that behind us. We're going to walk in the love of God for all eternity with no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness. I hope you're looking forward to death. I love my life. I love what's going on right now. I hope the Lord lets me stay a little longer. But I'm not afraid of death. I'm looking forward to it. because I know what's coming. I read the end of the book. Folks, when I was a boy, I used to read a lot. I was peddling fruit. We'd go up on the corner and sit in our truck and wait for people to stop and buy fruit. Well, they were waiting for somebody to stop. I was reading a Reader's Digest novel about a cowboy or something, and I'd get to a really tense point in that chapter or that book, and I'd stop reading, and I'd turn all the way to the back of the book to see how it ends. And then I'd go back to my story and say, villain, you wouldn't be so bold if you knew how this was going to end. Do you know the blessing is you've read the end of the book of the Bible? And when you hit the book of Revelation, and you see the wonderful things God has planned for us, we don't have to fear or dread death. We can welcome it when the time comes. This old body doesn't work like it used to. It's never going to work right again, not this body. But I'm getting me a brand new order body. It's going to have perfect health for all eternity. It's not going to age. I'm going to have Absalom's hair. I don't know if you know who Absalom is, but he was the man that had the thick hair that he had to keep cutting it. That's going to be me, folks. We have so much to look forward to. If God's drawing you to faith, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. God loves you. When we really love somebody, we want the very best for that person. And that's what God wants for you. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ. This can be a start of a brand new adventure for you. All that has to happen is you confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you do that, you're going to be with the Lord forever.